Welcome to the Sicha of Vayishlach Itas Kislev Chelek Yud. Wow. In this Sicha, the Rebbe is going to tell us what Yafutsu Ma'inesecha Chutza means in the service of Hashem. He's going to describe the perfect health of the Jew, the perfect spiritual health, tell not less than two stories and three Piskamim throughout this Sicha. We begin a very moving moment. It's the last Shabbos of in the life of the Maggid of Mezritch. It's Shabbos Parshas Vayishlach, Tof Kuf Lamed Gimel, 1773. The Maggid of Mezritch is bedridden. Sitting around him are the Chevraya Kadisha, his holy Talmidim, and he turns to them and he says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, quoting the beginning of this week's Parsha. Yaakov sent angels to Esav. And Rashi tells us that that the word malachim is malachim mamish. He sent actual angels. Doesn't mean that he sent messengers, but it means he sent angels. Says the Maggid, on these words, malachim mamish, that he sent actual angels. So he says, the mamoshus of the malachim, the actuality, the mamish of the malachim, the actuality of the malachim, Yaakov sent to Esav. But the spirituality of the malachim remained with Yaakov. The Rebbe asks three questions to help us understand what the Maggid is teaching us. Number one, wasn't the entire purpose of sending angels as opposed to messengers because Yaakov wanted to be Mevarah, to uplift and to transform Esav? And doesn't that require both the spiritual and physical dimension of the Malachim? Number two is, what does it mean that you were separating between the physical aspect, the mamish of the malachim, and the spiritual aspect of the malachim? Even in a person, we don't separate between their physical and spiritual aspects. We don't separate. The soul can't go to one place and the body can't go somewhere else. And number three is that the teaching of the Maggid seems to kind of go in the opposite direction of the Rashi that it's based on. Rashi says, Malachim Mamish, he actually sent angels. In other words, the Mamish is actual angels. They were angels. And the Maggid is saying, no, it was just the Mamashis of the Malachim. It was just the ephemeral aspect of the Malachim, the outer aspect of the Malachim, the tangible aspect of the Malachim. So is the word Mamashis telling us actual angels, or it's telling us just the ephemeral aspect, but not the spiritual aspect? And therefore, the Rebbe says that the meaning of the word of the teaching of the Maggid, Malachim Mamish, doesn't mean that only the Mamish, only the body of the Malachim went, but the souls remained with Yaakov. But rather, when the Malachim went, body and soul, what went, what left Yaakov's presence? What went out into the war, into the engagement with Esav, was the mamish, was the external aspect of the malachim, went out to transform and to engage and to lift up Esav. But the spiritual aspect of the malachim never left. They remain connected. They remain as if they're always in the presence of Yaakov. And the Maggid is actually reinforcing what Rashi is telling us. These are actual angels. Even when they're standing in the presence of Esav, and even when they're engaged with Esav, where are they really? Where do they feel that they are? Where is their presence really with Yaakov? But it's their physical, their outermost dimension, their most mamashes, their most tangible dimension, that is now engaged with Esav. But because they stay in their most spiritual state inside, and it's only an outer expression of theirs that's engaging with Esav, it is therefore that they are actually able to transform Esav, to have the desired effect on Esav, and to lift Esav. This is the teaching of the Maggid. But it's not just a teaching. It's the last Shabbos of his life. So there's almost like a tzava over here. There's a message for eternity. And this message, of course, is specifically relevant to the Alter Rebbe, who is the main disciple, the primary disciple of the Maggid. As Rebbe Levi Yitzchak of Vardichev said, we all ate from the same bowl, But the Lithuanian, the Litai, which was how they referred to the Alter Rebbe, took the smetana, took the best of the bowl. And it carries on and brings out the best of the teachings of the Maggid of Mezritch, really takes them at their deepest level. Specifically, the Maggid's passing takes place a few days later on Yutes Kislev, about which the Maggid told Alter Rebbe, Yutes Kislev is our Yontif, because the Maggid passes away in the year Tov Kuf Lamed Gimel. And 26 years later, in the year Tov Kuf Nun Tes, and Yutes Kislev, is the Geula of the Alter Rebbe. So, and this teaching, the Maggid says, in conjunction with his passing, just days ahead, Maggid passed away on a Wednesday, and this happens in the Shabbos before, in connection with this Yutes Kislev, the Alter Rebbe, the Maggid shares this teaching of that the essence of the angels actually remains as if it's with Yaakov. It remains unchanging. And it's only the mamashes, it's only the outermost aspect of the angels that engages with Esav. This teaching obviously has a very foundational connection to Chassidus Chabad, to Yutes Kislev. And it's a message for eternity from the Maggid right days before his passing. What's so profound? So we'll understand this idea by explaining what Yafutsu Ma'inesecha Chutza, which is the essence of Yutes Kislev, means in Avodas Hashem. For while Yafutsu Ma'inesecha Chutza generally refers to the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov spreading forth, but since Yidden are one with Torah, when there's a revelation of Torah, there's also a revelation of the Yid himself. What is the aspect of Torah that spreads forth in Yutes Kislev? Nishmasa deiraisa, the soul of Torah. What is the soul of Torah? There is the revealed aspect of Torah. That's the gufa deiraisa. Because like the body is revealed, this part of Torah is revealed. The soul is inherently not revealed. The soul cannot be sensed with any of the five senses. As a matter of fact, even intellectually, we cannot grasp the soul. We can know that there is a soul, but we cannot know what is the soul. It is inherently not revealed. So the soul aspect, the not revealed aspect of Torah, is revealed on Yutes Kislev. And in the Yid, the soul aspect of the Yid becomes revealed in Yutes Kislev. Now, when we talk about the revelation of the soul, there are two ways that the soul can become revealed. One is through the exercising control over the body. The body wants to do its thing. It feels its own desires. But the soul has control and is thus revealed on the body, in the body. Then there is a type of control, a type of revelation of the soul where the body doesn't feel its own being anymore. It's only an expression of the soul. We all sense this when it comes not to our nefesh alikis, but when it comes to our nefesh achayunis, our life-giving soul. We don't differentiate between, well, really my life-giving soul wanted my body to do something. It's all one. Whatever the life-giving force desires, it wants to run, or it wants to get up, or wants to go, or... So the body automatically does. It doesn't need to control the body. In a healthy yid, because really the life of the yid is really his nefesh olikis, and a yid is really, his whole body is just a keli, it's a vessel for the godly soul to reveal itself and to become apparent. So just like with the physical life force, which kind of automatically rules and guides the body, this is true by everybody. By a yid, his nefesh olikis, his godly soul in a healthy state, automatically runs and controls the body. Because the whole purpose of a yid is only to be there to make a v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham, to be the one that the soul, that the neshama can be revealed in. As a matter of fact, the Rebbe gives two halachic examples. We can either be like a isha, like a wife to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, And the halach is mashakana eved, mashakana ishakana baila, that whatever the wife acquires automatically becomes property of her husband. So too, it's not that the soul has to kind of work over the body, but automatically the yid is automatically in sync with the divine will, with the Ratzon Hashem. And even if somebody's not on the level of an Isha, but at least they can be an Eved Takadish Baruch Hu, a slave Takadish Baruch Hu, and also by a slave, the Allah is Mashakona Eved Kona Rabbi, this whatever a slave acquires, his master has acquired. And it's not that the slave decides to give things to his master, or not that the slave doesn't rebel against his master, but whatever comes through the slave automatically goes to the master. So a yid on this higher level is in a state of complete and total bittul to Hashem. Even in the physical, in the body level, there's nothing that separates. It's not a decision. It's not an act of submission or an act of control of the body, of the soul over the body, but it's an act of complete synchronization with purpose and with mission. And what are we about? What is our real life force? Our real life force is our nefesh alikis, is our attachment and is our connection with the divine. And our real being is that we are a mishkan lo yisparech, a presence for the divine. So again, it's not that the body is being controlled by the soul, but it's that the body is a vessel, and the revelation of the soul is just comes through the body very, very naturally. In Avodah, there's two services of the Eved. One is Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim. Whatever you do, you should do it L'Shem Shemayim. So you're doing it. You're eating, you're exercising, you're sleeping. But you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim. Because, for the sake of heaven, because you'll have more koyach to learn Torah, more koyach to daven. But there's a sequence of events. That's when a person is in the state that his body is being controlled by his soul. So there is the Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shemayim effect. Then we have the level of B'chol D'Rachecha De'eil, an even deeper attachment to Hashem, which is in all your ways, B'chol D'Rachecha, in all your ways, knowing whatever you're doing, when you're eating, through your eating, know Hashem, become closer to Hashem. When you're sleeping, through your sleeping, become closer to Hashem. It's not that this is in order to serve Hashem, but it's you're actually becoming closer to Hashem through the eating, through the sleeping. When is a yid on that level? When and how is it possible to actually come closer to Hashem, not just through Torah and mitzvahs, but through the eating and through the sleeping itself? When the Jew is on the higher level that we said before, when it's very apparent that all the Jew is a body which is a vessel for the soul to become revealed. It's only here, its whole presence is a place for the soul to become revealed. So when he's eating, when he's sleeping, whatever he's doing, it's only there for the revelation of the soul. Now, in that case, so the soul is automatically revealing itself and bringing itself down in the food that the person eats, not in the actual action that the person does. Now we're going to go even deeper. Not only is it possible for the soul to be so revealed that the body doesn't feel its independent being, that there's all this is about a revelation for Hashem. But even here, there's two experiences. There is the experience that whatever is being done for the revelation of Hashem. Yet, you're having a physical experience. So like a person eats on Shabbos. They're doing a mitzvah. They're doing a mitzvah. So it's a revelation of Hashem. It's a revelation of Elikus. But they're also doing the mitzvah through having a very physical experience. But the soul can become so revealed, so present, so alive, so much the identity of who you are, that you actually cease to have the physical experience and you're only having the spiritual experience. And this is perfect health. Because when a person is in perfect health, they actually don't feel their body at all. When a person feels their head or feels their heart, so there's a problem. It's called a headache or a heartache. They're not in perfect health. In perfect health, they feel alive. They feel their soul. Now the godly, so when the person, when the yid is in this state, that his godly soul is fully alive, is fully present, is fully who he is, so he doesn't even feel the physical components that he's engaging with. He only feels the godly soul. So when the person eats, for example, they only feel the fact that they're bringing Elikus, Baruch Atah Hashem, bless you Hashem, Elikeinu Melech, they're bringing Elikus onto this physical matter. That's what they're feeling. They're not feeling the physical matter. Or a person does business. They do business properly, and they do it with like the law, Kemineg HaTagarim. But what are they feeling? They're feeling only the drawing down of Elikus. Like we have a story of Rav Binyamin Klotzker, that one of the great Talmidim of Alter Rebbe, who had a parnosa in the logging business, and one time he was making a whole cheshbon of all of his parnosa, and at the end he wrote Ein Od Mavader, and that was the sachakel. The sachakel was the conclusion, and the sum total was Ein Od Mavader, because that's what he felt was the Ein Od Mavader. So in a yid, in perfect shape, in perfect health, remember, a yid really is a godly soul. So therefore, the dominance should come natural. The control should be natural. There should be no resistance of the body. Just like the body doesn't resist the natural soul. And in perfect health, just like we don't feel ourselves, we don't feel our heart, we don't feel our minds, we don't feel our hand. In perfect health, we don't even have the physical experience at all, because it's only about the life itself, and life itself is the soul. Wow. Whatever our Rabbeim demanded from us, our Rabbeim showed us the way. And so too, we have a story of the Alter Rebbe that teaches us how to do this, shows us how to do this. The Alter Rebbe was once hosting a very chashuv yid, and in the course of hosting this yid, everybody wanted to, the woman in the kitchen wanted to help prepare for this meal. So they decided that they'll divide up the different tasks. Well, one task that wasn't assigned was who's going to salt the food. And they each realized, and they decided that they will each grab the task of salting the food. And they each salt the food, and without telling the other. When the food was brought to the Alter Rebbe begins to eat. And he sees that this guest tastes a little of the food, but then pushes it to the side. So Alter Rebbe asks, why don't you eat? He says, it's too salty. Alter Rebbe said that still when he was yet in Mizrich, he affected on himself that he shouldn't taste of food anymore. So here we have it. He doesn't taste the physical dimension anymore. He's only involved in the spiritual dimension. Now, who could be like the Alter Rebbe? But Efes Katzayu, B'shemetz Mineu, like we're told that a little bit some of this is shaykh, is relevant to each and every one of us. And if we cannot be like the Alter Rebbe, that we don't feel the physical experience, we can be so caught up in the spiritual experience, so engaged in the de'ehu, in the getting to know Hashem to this experience, that we actually fail to sense the spiritual experience. Like somebody who's so preoccupied that they not even engage, they don't even taste the food that they're eating because they're so preoccupied with other things. Having explained these three levels, Kol Masach Yilu Shem Shemayim, the idea that everything you do is Shem Shemayim because the neshama controls and dominates the body. Deeper is the idea of B'chol D'rachacha Da'ehu, whatever you're doing is an act of knowing Hashem because the only experience that's being had is the neshama experience. And even deeper within that itself is that the one ceases to feel the physical experience at all. They only feel the spiritual experience. They're only having a neshama experience. Now we can understand what Yafutsu Ma'inesecha Chutza means in Avodas Hashem. What does Yafutsu Ma'inesecha Chutza mean in general? So first of all, we're talking about the wellsprings themselves going forth. Not only that the effect of the wellsprings is felt outside, but the wellspring itself now is in the outside. Number two is that it's in a way of your futsu spreading forth to the point that there's nothing that stands in the way of the wellsprings. And ultimately, there's nothing outside of the wellsprings, because if there's anything outside of it, then it's a limitation. It is not spreading fully forth. So the ultimate spread of the wellsprings is that the wellspring spreads and nothing ceases and nothing stands in its way. What is this in Avodas Hashem? The Mayon, the wellspring, is the neshama which is carved from under the Kisei HaKavod. On a deeper level, to Hayrihi, the neshama in its ultimate state of purity. And the neshama itself, the wellspring itself, needs to be felt in the most physical base body level to the point that nothing stands in its way. And what is the ultimate Yafutsu Ma'inasecha Chutza? Is that those wellsprings, the neshama itself, comes into the body, not just in a way of controlling the body, Kol Masechi V'Shem Shemayim, but rather it actually permeates through the body in the B'chol D'rechacha Da'ayu. In the every act is actually a knowledge and experience of the neshama itself drawing closer to Hashem, bringing down Elokus where it is, to the point that there's nothing that stands in its way. There's nothing outside of it. There's not a physical experience at all. We're solely having the spiritual experience. The neshama is completely dominant and there's nothing else in its way. The only experience, again, is that spiritual experience. We don't feel the physicality at all. How we can really understand the teaching of the Maggid on the last Shabbos of his life and its connection with Yutzis Kislev and Yafutsu Ma'inesecha Chutza. Because just as when Yaakov sends angels to Esav, it's with the Kavanah to be Mevarer Esav, and that requires specifically angels that have that connection, so too, each and every one of our neshamas are sent down to be Mevarer the world. And how can we uplift, how can we refine the world? Specifically through bringing out the spiritual dimension in ourselves, the angel aspect in ourselves, through maintaining that spirituality as primary and front and center. That's how we can be Mavar the world. And even in this itself. So the Maggid teaches us that one may think that it's enough if the neshama only guides and controls the physical aspects of the world in a way of Kol Masach L'Shem Shemayim. And the Maggid teaches us that that is not enough. But as a matter of fact, we have to have such revelation of soul that the physical aspect of the world aren't even felt at all. We're only having the soul experience. And thus the Maggid says that only the mamoshes, the more tuffle, the more secondary aspect and external aspect of the soul and of the angel is engaged with Esav, but the internal aspects of the soul remain completely in line with Yaakov. And this idea that our etzem and neshama and the essence of our soul remains completely connected with the divine, and that aspect of the soul that is engaged with the world feels that it is only secondary and it is only serving and it's only there to allow the essence of the soul to shine. And essentially, the essence of the soul is shining through everything, and we're having a complete and total soul experience. And this is also a message for Shlichus specifically.